Welcome to another message from the Gospel of Acts. The book of Acts is a history book, but it's also a gospel. It tells the gospel all over the place. And here we are right in the middle of a gospel sermon, Peter's gospel sermon. The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Churches, and it's also called the Acts of the Apostles. I rather would think it's more of the Acts of the Churches than the Acts of the Apostles, even though it's talking about what the apostles did in churches. Here we are on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And the Jerusalem church is here, because this is the church that Jesus founded. We're teaching this from the Greek language, but we'll read it from Greek and then we'll emphasize on what it actually says in the inspired languages of the Bible, the actions of the verbs and the nouns, the words, the names. Peter here is preaching an inspired message, a message that was inspired from eternity past, because this is God's plan. This is God's eternal plan, his unpreventable progress. Andres Israelite, akousate tu slugus, tutos esun ton nazarion, andra apoded deg menon, apu tu theu, eis himas dinamese. Kai perese, kai semios, hois epoesin di auto hu theos en meso himon kathos autoi oidate. And that's what it sounds like from the original language. That's what the Bible, how the Bible was originally written. And here we have a little word in the, what we call the vocative, but the address, Andres, men. Men. This is Israelites, men, Israelites. This word Israelites is a high Jewish name of honor, not associated in this name with the Ishmael's genealogy or Esau's only, but back to Jacob, to Israel, to Isaac, to Abraham. This is cutting out all of the dross, this word is. Men, Israelites, honorable men. That's the term they like to use, Israelites. Not so much Jews, but Israelites. You hear, this little word is imperative word, akousate, and it means you pay attention and you understand with great urgency, do this. The words, these, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus the Nazarene. By the way, the name Jesus is Joshua of the Old Testament. And Joshua means Jehovah saves, and the word Jehovah means he who shall become. In John 1:14, it says, Kai ho logos sarx aganeto, and the word flesh he became. And the word means Jehovah. Because the Israelites did not use the name of God, they said the word. Or Hashem, the name. They would not say Jehovah. They didn't know how to say it, for one thing. But this is Jesus. Jehovah is Jesus of the Old Testament. Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament, or Yahshua of the New Testament. Word Jesus, which we have in Spanish and Latin and in Greek, it came from Greek. Jesus. Jehovah saves. These words, Jesus the Nazarene, the man from Nazareth, that is also a prophecy, because he was a root out of dry ground, it says, Nazar. Men, having been tested and approved and demonstrated, having been pointed out from the God among you, powerful deeds. God chose powerful deeds to prove that Jesus is his son. Deeds that cannot be mimicked, cannot be mocked in any way, cannot be duplicated. With signs and wonders, miracles, terrifying signs. That word, dynamis there, that means powerful deeds. We got the word dynamite from that. Dynamite's got a lot of nitroglycerin in it. Gunpowder's got a lot of nitroglycerin in it. You put that under in an enclosed bottle or something, or a barrel of a gun, or a cannon, and it tremendously multiplies its energy. And wonders, terasi. That means to terrify you. Comes from terio. Something strange. Something that you observe that is so beyond our world. It's supernatural. Terase. And semiois. Semiois is signs. By signs, Jesus was born. By signs and wonders, Jesus proved that he was Messiah. Which, actually is witches, he did. Through the agent in him, the God, in the middle of all of you, just as yourselves you saw. You saw with your mind's eye, you saw, you heard it, you saw it, you felt it. You smelled the power of God. The power of God. They smelled the power of God. When Lazarus was dead in the tomb for at least 3 days, the human body rots and produces odors. And by the power of God, Jesus took that stinking corpse and put life back in it. And out he came with his grave wrappings on him. Verse number 23. Tuto te horis mene boule kai prognose tu theou ek doton dia keras anomon pros pe zon tes anel latte. This one, having, because of the fixed counsel of God, the word boule there means spiritual activating force, his plans. Having been marked out beforehand, having been fixed, having corralled off, that's the word horismene, comes from horizo. Having been marked off beforehand, pre-planned, destined, predestined by the predestined counsel of God and his foreknowledge, prognose, that he knew beforehand, belonging to God, delivered out through the hands of lawless ones, outlaws, murderous hands, thieving hands, murderous hands. The leaders of the Jews murdered Jesus. The leaders of the Jews stole the right of the Messiah and shoved him in a grave. Crucified him on a cross. Demanded it. Murderous hands, thieves, lawless ones, outlaws. By murderous hands. Murderous hands, having fastened upon him, they were men slayers. They were murderers. Ye killed him. Peter, through the boldness of the Holy Spirit, charges the people to their faces with the death of Jesus Christ. He calls them lawless outlaws. And with lawless hands, murderous hands, you did this. Now, When the word of God is preached, people make one of two decisions. They either get mad or they get sad. When they get sad, then God can deal with their hearts. When you realize that you're without Jesus Christ, that you do not know Him, you do not have Him in your life, and that you are under the condemnation of all of your sins. And you look up to God and you know that no way in the world do you deserve to be there with Him. But by His mercy and grace, if you call upon Him, He will save you. 24. Hon ho theos anastereisen lisos ta odinas tu thanatou kathote uk ein dinaton krateste auton heap autou. Whom God raised up. You murdered Him and God raised Him up. You murdered this man and God raised him up, and you made excuses why he wasn't raised. You went to Pontius Pilate and demanded that he give you a guard on that tomb, and he said, jump in a creek, go do the best you can with your own soldiers. They said, he said he was going to raise after 3 days. We want to make sure that his disciples don't steal him, and that the problem we have now is not going to be near as bad as the problem afterwards. The disciples themselves did not understand the anastasia of the resurrection. But the enemies of God did. They understood what he told them. The disciples just, when Jesus was crucified and died on the cross of Calvary, they had no wind left in their sails. They were out in the middle of the ocean with no wind, with no power. The power of the Son of God was gone, and they were hopeless, they thought. And God raised him up. He loosed him up out of the intolerable anguish, the pains of childbirth. That's the word odinos means. This Hebrew word originally meant snares and traps. People take snares. They use spring traps with jaws that hold on to animals. They take and they put a snare out there that will grab their foot and pull them up in the air. They have all types of hooks and things. That's what this means here. The intolerable anguish of death could not hold him, because not it kept on being able, possible, to be held him under death. Death could not hold Jesus. The Hades could not contain him and hold him. Everybody else that ever died all the way from Adam onward went to Hades. That's Sheol. Hades means the place unseen. Sheol means the place asked about. This is where everybody went. All people went to Hades when they died. Everybody went to Hades when they died. Before the cross of Calvary, they went to a place in Hades called Paradiso, or Abraham's bosom. When Jesus died, he went down to Abraham's bosom. The people over there in hell could see the Son of God that had died for their sins. But it did not account for them, because they had not asked the Lord to save them. That death was not efficacious to them, but he did die for them. But it was not efficacious to them. Whom God raised out of this intolerable anguish, and that Sheol and Hades could not hold him down. Every man that ever died stayed in Sheol until Jesus Christ came, went down there, preached to them that he had overcome, and then when he was raised from the dead, he took them to heaven. forevermore. We do not know whether all of them were raised in the resurrection, whether they had bodies that he took them to heaven with, or whether they shall still wait for those bodies. But in heaven, after you die, you will have a form. Your soul and spirit have form. Your body is material. And one day, in the Anastasia, the resurrection, that body, the soul, and spirit triunely will be united again. Verse number 25 now, we talk about the Davidic covenant. David, yar lege est auton, proouromein, ton kurion, enopion, mu dia pantos, hote ek, dexion, mu esten hina me saluno, saluto. For David says, in reference to him, I kept on foreseeing for myself the Lord. He kept on looking forward to the Lord, David did. David talked about the Lord. He talked about his crucifixion. He talked about his birth. He talked about his death and burial and resurrection. I kept on foreseeing the Lord in the presence of me. Always, diapantos, always. Because out of the right side of me he is. In order that not I may be moved. Shaken. The word of God is pure, it's true. People ask me, what do you believe in the word of God? I mean, everybody has revelations. We all have revelations. Yeah, there's a lot of spirits out there forever. And those spirits mess with our minds. They put false information in there as much as they can do. You know, the spirits in eternity past that were created in eternity past when the heavens and earth were created also in eternity past, not in space and time. The angels and spirits were created first to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth. A lot of things happened in eternity past that many people just don't get the Bible divided up correctly. A lot of things happened in eternity past. In space and time, God brought forth his plans. Galatians 4th chapter says, for in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of the woman, made under the law, that he might redeem those that are under the curse of the law. Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled when Jesus Christ was born into this world. He was born to overcome Satan. And he was born to overcome Satan in a human body. And he did. Thank goodness, hallelujah. Diatuto e fronte he cardia mu kai angaliasato he glossa mu eti de kai he sarx mu kata skenose ep elpida. Because of this, he was happy, glad, the heart of me, my heart was glad. And exalted, jumping up and down with great joy for itself. And he said, the tongue of me now, moreover also, the flesh of me, it shall dwell upon hope. It shall tabernacle. It shall pitch its tent. My flesh shall pitch his tent with God one day. In the final redemption, my flesh shall dwell in the presence of God, but my flesh shall be pure. In eternity past, so many, many millennia ago, everything that ever happened in this world, every person that's ever lived, the spirits and angels know about it. They know every one. They can imitate them, the evil ones, and make people think that they lived other lives, make people think that they were somebody else in other lives and other times. But it is what those spirits are putting in their minds. Satan is a great imitator and confuser. He's a master, a magician of muddying the waters. Muddying the waters. I had to go to court so many years ago to protect my daughter's life. And the enemies muddied up the waters so bad that they couldn't figure out what really happened. They could have asked a little girl. But see, they were so muddy, the waters were so muddy that they said they didn't think they could believe the little girl. But the little girl was right. God is going to clear up all the mud one of these days. When Satan destroyed the earth in Genesis 1 and 2, the earth was just a mud ball of chaos. And God began to set it in order, cosmos. He set the cosmos back in order. 27. Hote uk ekata lepses tain psychain mu ace hedain uvde doses ton osion su edain diaph thoron. Because not he shall be abandoned, the soul of me, in Hades. Jesus went down to Hades. He went down to Sheol. But God wasn't going to leave him there, not going to let him stay there. The Bible says that the eternal Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says that the eternal God, the Father, raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus said he raised himself from the dead. We have a triune God, people. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. He will not abandon his soul in Hades. Psalm 16 and verse 10. Neither he shall give the Holy One of you to see corruption. Diaph thoron. That means his body was not going to rot. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of mercy. God turned his back on the Son on the cross of Calvary and treated him just like he was you. Just like he was you, a sinner. We're all sinners, people. Our souls live in our thought life. Our souls are sinners. We get that infection of sin to our blood when we're conceived into this world. And we're conceived into this world as sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ sets a new spirit in our lives, and we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And Spirit God leads us, convicts us, gives us life and joy. Verse number 28. That's where we're going to quit in this message. Egnorisos moi hudus. Zoes pleroses me. Euphorosines meta tu prosopu su. You have made known your four counsels. You have made known your prophecy. You have made known your eternal plans. That's what that word means. You've made known the counsel of God, the eternal, unpreventable progress and counsel of God to me. The pathways of life you shall fill up full. My pathways of life you shall fill up full of gladness. With the presence under your face shall shine upon us. Your face shall shine upon us. Let's go back and read this now from the Amplified Bible. The second chapter, verse number 22. You men of Israel, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited with and pointed out and shown forth and commended and attested to you by God, by the mighty works and the powerful performing wonders and signs which God's worked through him, right in the middle of you people, you yourselves know this. Now these are the people that crucified the Messiah. This Jesus, when delivered up according to the definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and put out of the way, killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men, murderous hands. Verse number 24. But God raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled and contained and retained by it. For David says, in regard to him, I saw the Lord constantly before me. For he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken and overthrown or cast down from my secure and happy state. Verse number 26. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue exalted exceedingly. Moreover, my flesh also will test in hope, and will encamp and pitch his tent and dwell on hope in anticipation of the resurrection. Job said, in my flesh, even though the worms eat my body, in my flesh I shall see God. Not through someone else's eyes, but through my own eyes. The resurrection, the Anastasia. For you will not abandon my soul, leaving it hopeless and helpless and hated. The state of departed spirits, nor let your Holy One no decay and see destruction of the holy body after death. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, diffusing my soul with spirit joy and with and in your presence. Yes, he will. He will do that for you if you allow him to. God will save your soul. He'll give you joy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something different than most preachers say. Most preachers say if you just trust in Jesus, all your troubles are over. You just trust in Jesus and all your troubles begin. Because Satan's going to try to destroy you anyway. Not that he can ever take you out of the hands of God, but then's when the battle begins. I remember Brother Ray Hernandez when he was saved, a little gangster out of the little barrio. I stood out there and I asked him, I said, Brother Ray, do you want to ask God to forgive you and for not accepting him's son, but rejecting him all these years? You want him to save your soul? And he said, yes. I said, well, why don't you ask him to do that? Ask him to forgive you for rejecting that merciful offering. And he did. He's pretty smiling. About ready to shout out there in the middle of the night, about midnight, out in the barrio with gangsters going all around. Might get shot any minute. That's just the way it was. He was all excited. I said, now, brother, the battle just begins. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Yeah, you're a gangster. Now the law's going to come and act and treat you just like you were all your life. You were a gangster. He told me one time that he bought a television for his wife for her birthday or Christmas. And when he brought it in the house, she said, where'd you steal it? He looked at her and he said, I didn't steal this. I bought it. Yeah, sure. Well, God changed his life for a long, long time. Now he preaches the gospel. God can change your life if you let him. Call upon him to save your soul. Put your heart and your soul in the hands of God. He will forgive you and use you. And he will lead you through all of the paths of all the crooked evils in life, in this world. We're constantly, all the time, affected by people that lie to us, that try to cheat us. Wives and husbands that cheat on their husbands and their wives. Children that turn their back on their mothers and fathers, that break their hearts. It's said that little children walk on their mom and dad's feet. When they grow up, they walk on their hearts. That happens all the time. It happens. But God will bring you through it all. I just guarantee you one thing, your children will, if your children just abandon you, God will give you many children. God loves you. And He'll show you that every day. He'll prove it to you every day. Father, we send this message out for your honor, for your glory. Father, please use it for your predetermined eternal purpose, your unpreventable progress. Father, show the world that you want to save the world. Father, just thank you for the blessing this day of being able to preach your word and having a place to do it. I'm not down on the creek. I'm not in the little cabin. I'm in a room, in our multi-purpose room, preaching your word. And your children are listening from all over the world, from Wales to New Zealand and Australia, India, China, Japan, all the states from one end of the country to the other. Father, touch each and every heart out there. Give them something good out of this message. Show them there's hope, that you'll lead them through any trial that may come against them, and they do. In Jesus' name we pray, for your honor, for your glory. We send this message. Amen.